I know most people will be probably speaking in churches from Acts chapter 2. That's the first point where the Holy Spirit was given in the fullness to the church and to individuals in a broad sort of aspect, really. Normally the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Spirit, was out on the king and the priest and the prophet in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, there was this sudden outpouring of God's presence, God's Holy Spirit, upon the disciples in Acts chapter 2. So we're going to initially have a look at Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through to 4. I'll ask Grace if she would read that for me, please.
And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves. And they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance.
Yeah, amen. The day of Pentecost. Verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. That was the first sign. That was the first thing that these people began to notice. And you know, I remember in our early days when we started in ministry, when we started Harvest Fields Ministries, we were at our house and we had a house group meeting, and we were just, at the end of the meeting, we just decided to just wait on the Lord, and we stood in the presence of the Holy Spirit just waiting for the Lord to just come in. And I remember that I was stood in front of our fireplace, and the door out of the lounge was on the left-hand side. We have an L-shaped lounge, and two ladies were literally stood near the doorway, in line of the doorway. And suddenly, as we were waiting on God, I heard this rush of wind come from the other end of the lounge, come through the lounge, and it went past me. I felt this wind go past me, and it went past these two ladies who actually were holding hands. And the wind that came through actually knocked them down on the floor. Mm. And they were laid on the floor, and I just thought, wow, this is absolutely amazing. What is God doing? And there was a real move of God happening at that time. And then afterwards we were having some refreshments, and folk were just chatting, and I was listening into their conversation. And one was saying to you that, you know, I went down in the Holy Spirit. I just felt this rush of wind, and I just went down to the floor. Neither of them knew that the other one had been down on the floor. And I thought, this is amazing now, that suddenly the power and the presence of God just came into the room and touched these two ladies and ministered into their lives. And you know, for a number of years, one of the ladies in particular continued to talk about that experience, how the presence of God had just come in that room. And I'd never, until today, I'd never sort of related it back to Acts as I was just rereading again this, where in verse 2 it says, a noise came from heaven like a violent rushing wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Well, we were standing, but that wind just came through. I mean, there were no windows open. There is no way can a wind come through that end of the house, because there's not another opening at all. And they're just the move of the presence of God. And at those times when we were together in the house, there was times when there was a real move of the Holy Spirit amongst us, and the God was moving mightily. And so today we're living in a day when we need to see a real move of the presence and the power of God. We need to see a real move of the Holy Spirit. And an interesting thing, as we read in here in this book of Acts, where it says, and in verse 3 it says, and there appeared to them tongues of fire, distributing themselves and resting on each of them. And another little revelation came to me today. You know, we talk about the move of the Spirit and the tongues of fire. Now, you and I, when we think about fire, we think about fire that consumes, that burns things up, and that destroys things, don't we? Or keeps us warm, but it is hot and it's touching. And suddenly I have this thought, you know, I remember there were fires in that were representative of God. And as we look in Acts here, the fire is a representation of God. Now, if we go back into when Moses met with God, and when he first met with God, he met with God at the burning bush. And it says that the bush, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, it says the bush was aflame. It says there was a fire. It says, and yet the bush was not consumed. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
A natural fire that could happen in the desert because of the heat, when things just can suddenly burst into flames, this was not a natural fire.
Mm.
This was a supernatural fire. This was a manifestation of God himself around this bush. And the thing that got Moses' attention was the bush was not consumed. It didn't die out, because normally you would see a fire go up around the bush and after a few minutes it will be gone. But this continued. This is what got his attention. As you know, we have something similar here in the book of Acts. The fire. God is trying to get people's attention.
Amen.
He's trying to get the disciples' attention, because it is not an all-consuming fire. We know God, the word tells us that God can be an all-consuming fire. But there is this symbolizing that God wants to get your attention.
Amen.
And God wants to get our attention today, even as we remember the day of Pentecost. But not only remember it, but let's continue to put into practice that baptism of the Spirit of God, that speaking in tongues, the prophetic that comes via the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has come that you and I might have a impartation, that you and I might flow in the gifts of the Spirit through this impartation from God. And so this tongues of fire, with the tongues of fire, it's not an all-consuming fire. It is just a symbol of the presence of God. If we remember also, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, it says there was a cloud that led them by the day, and there was a fire that led them by night. This fire was not a fire that was being consumed in something. It wasn't being supplied by gas. It wasn't being supplied by oil or wood. This was a representation of the very presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
That is something amazing. You see, God can create himself as a fire and yet consumes nothing, because he says he is the I am. And so God here is revealing himself to the disciples in the book of Acts, and he's beginning this point at the point of empowering people to fulfill their destiny. God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to empower the church to fulfill its destiny, to fulfill its purpose, and for the plans and callings for each and every one of us. God wants you and I to know that. If you remember in Acts chapter 19 and verse 18, now Moses went up Mount Sinai, but it says the symbol, the sign that God was there, there was a fire and there was smoke. You know, God did not consume the mountain. If you remember, we talked recently about Elijah and the offering, and how God sent fire down and it consumed the offering, it consumed the wood, it consumed the water, it consumed the rocks, it consumed everything that it touched. You see, God now reveals himself to the people, and especially to Moses when he went up the mountain for 40 days, as a fire and like a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked with it. But Moses was not consumed by the fire. God knows that we are but made of feeble things, of dust, and so that God knows that we need to be protected. And so I find it amazing that this time, as fresh and anew as I read this story again, and the number of times we must have read it, that I've only just seen this, that God reveals himself in the fire, mm-hmm. not to consume us, but to show us that his presence goes before us. Mm-hmm. And you know, to his disciples, these disciples were hidden away. They were afraid. They were wondering what is going to happen next. They were locked away in the upper room. And then God, by the Holy Spirit, comes in a fire to show them that his presence is with them, his presence is there, and that he loves them with an everlasting love. And so we realize that, as I said, a natural fire will consume things. But the fire of the Holy Spirit is there to empower us, to envelop us with his presence, and to actually fill us with his presence, and to cause us to know that God is with us, and that he will never leave us, and that he will never forsake us. And so the fire at Pentecost was a different fire to what we in our natural minds would understand. It is a fire of the Spirit, the outpouring upon each and every one of us. And it says in verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And so the Spirit of God was moving over them and ministering into their lives. And this is like 9 o'clock in the morning. This is happening. And God is moving in them and moving over them. And you know, they were being accused of actually being drunk of the things of this world. And you know, Peter has to remind them, what are you talking about? We've only just, you know, it's only just 9 o'clock in the morning. It's not possible. And so we just rejoice that God knows what he's doing. And so we look at verse 17 of Acts chapter 2. And it says, and it shall be in the last days, says God, that I will pour forth my Spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And so it goes on. And this is from the prophet Joel. Peter is quoting from the prophet Joel. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And God is pouring out of himself into people. You see, God wants to minister into people's lives. That is God's passion, that is God's desire, the reason God created us. That right in the beginning in Genesis, when God made us and formed us, he made us for communion. He made us for a relationship. He made us that we would be his hands and his feet on the earth. He made us that we would be people that portrayed God for who he really is, and not for who men today portray God as. And we read on in this book of Acts that it says that after Peter had preached this message, and I think this is wonderful that Peter, the man who was afraid of a young teenage girl who said to him, weren't you with one of his disciples? Weren't you with this Jesus? And he denied Jesus for the third time. This man, suddenly now by the power of the Holy Spirit, is empowered to minister the word of God. He's empowered to preach the word of God. And with boldness he stands up before thousands of people in the marketplace and begins to declare the word of God. Begins to shout out and proclaim Jesus, the man crucified, the Son of God, the Lord and Savior, the Messiah, the one who will deliver and set us free. And he begins to declare this out, and it says in verse 42, in verse 41, and then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Praise God.
Amen.
So not only was there a preaching of the word and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but there was also a baptismal service. And it says 3,000 men were added to the church. And so we rejoice in that. And you know, we have to believe that God wants to move in that same way. God wants to bring a breakthrough. God wants to show us that he wants his people. He wants to get back the people that have been stolen by the enemy. He wants to bring us to a place of a better relationship in God. And so it's important that we forward flowing this and moving this. And then I thought, let's move into Acts chapter 10. So if you want to turn with me just to Acts chapter 10. And this is the story of Cornelius. We read from chapter 10, 1 through to 4.
Now there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to Jewish people, and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come into him, and said to him, Cornelius, and fixing his gaze upon him, and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God.
Praise God. You know, everything that we do and everything that we say, God knows of, God sees, and God hears. It's recorded.
Amen.
And it's interesting that as Cornelius, this Roman centurion, he's an officer, he's in charge of 100 men, and he's one who is considerate to the people, the Jewish people. He sees the needs and he sees the oppression there underneath. But Cornelius has begun to find out about this Jewish God, this God that is a God of love, really, and he's begun to find out about it, and he's begun to give offerings. He's begun to share with people. He's begun to minister, like we've even talked about just a few minutes ago before we came online, about the fact of the lady in South Africa and an opportunity to give to her in her need of want, where she has no money for food, and so that God can use each and every one of us to touch and to change a person's life and to have an impact and show the love of God. And so Cornelius was a man who was a God-fearing man. And there were many gods in Roman times, but Cornelius had taken the approach and had taken the line of following this new God that he heard of by coming to Jerusalem and to that area. And so he was living on the coastline in a place called the Caesarea, there he was stationed. And he said that 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he was praying. He was seeking this God. He says, and an angel appeared to him. Wow. An angel appeared to him clearly in a vision, saw this angel. The angel of God who had come to him and actually called him by name.
Amen.
Remember, God knows your name.
Amen.
You're not just the number.
Amen.
God knows your name. And you know, I think it's funny that today, you know, you go to places and they say to you, what's your national insurance number? I don't have a clue what my national insurance number is. I do know what my name is. But my national insurance number, I don't have a clue. I tried to remember it. It's one of those numbers I cannot remember. Now, I know this younger generation are brought up to remember this number. It's like tattooed on them nearly in one sense. But you know, the interesting thing is, God knows your name.
Amen.
Praise God. He knows you as an individual. You're not a number, but he knows you by name. He says that we were given. He says when we were saved, he says there was a white stone, a precious white stone, and on that white stone is your name. That name that is written
down in glory. Hallelujah. Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name's written down in glory. God knows your name. Hallelujah. And I just thank God for that. So here we are. This angel, he comes down and says, Cornelius. It's like, whoa, how do you know my name? I've never seen you before. I've never met you before. This angel must have looked awesome because Cornelius, he says, was afraid. And he's a man that's been to war. He's a man that knows what fear is. He's a man that's faced battles. He's a man of courage. But suddenly when this angel arrives, he's afraid. And I mean real fear. The presence of a holy God comes in. And he sees this angel. And the angel, as I said, knows his name. And then the angel begins to speak to him and says to him, send for a man named Simon Peter, who is in Joppa, another place just on the coastline, on the Mediterranean. Send for a man named Simon Peter, who is in Joppa, the place, the name of the man. That I find is amazing. So we have here the angel knows Cornelius' name. The angel tells Cornelius the name of a man that he needs to send for. He tells him the town, the city that the man is living in. God is into detail. God is into detail. God knows where you are. God knows the situation you're in. God knows your name. God knows every hair that is upon your head. You are special to God.
Amen.
And so at this time, Cornelius is special to God. God is directly communicating with him. God has sent a messenger because God wants Cornelius to have more than what he's already got.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Does God want you to have more than what you've already got today?
Amen.
Does God want you to have more of him than what you've already experienced of him? And the answer to that is yes. Because it's written in this book here. And part of the reason for this was because of Cornelius' faithfulness. Cornelius' obedience and Cornelius showing love and mercy towards others at this time. And this is an amazing situation. And so Cornelius then the next day literally gets his servants, two of his looked after servants who were good servants, who were loyal to him, and one of his soldiers. And he says, I want you to go and find this man, Simon Peter, in Joppa. God will guide you. God will direct you. So off they go. And then we move on and we find that the next thing that happens, it says, the next day, at midday, Peter has a vision. So let's have a look at verse 13.
And a voice came to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. And again a voice came to him a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And this happened three times. And immediately the object was taken up into the sky.
You know, when God says something, we need to listen. And if he says it twice, we really need to sit up and listen.
Amen.
And if he says it three times, you really had better take notice. And you better act upon what God is saying. And so Peter is somewhat confused, because Peter, being a Jew, has never eaten anything unclean. Peter has never eaten anything unholy. He has stood by the law. And so when this vision of these creatures are brought down before him, which in the eyes of the Jews are classed as being unclean, unholy, ungodly, and God says, take, kill, and eat. He's like, whoa, this is totally against, it's against my culture. It's against my beliefs. It's against my traditions. It's against everything that I have ever been taught.
Yeah.
And yet God is telling me, to do this. This cannot be true. And he's wondering. In verse 17 he says, now Peter was greatly perplexed in his mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be. He says, and then behold, men who had been sent by Cornelius are come and asked directions for Simon's house, appearing at the gate and calling out. They were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. A question I asked myself today even was, three times the Lord dropped this down and showed it. Was this the fact to show to Peter that there are three people that are coming? And these people are maybe ungodly people. But God is saying, go with them. God is letting him know that even at this time, he's to take note. That God is confirming that three times I showed you this, and yet there are three men who have now come to see you. And so Cornelius has sent these men, and Peter is now receiving these men. And they begin to tell Peter why they've come, and that Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous man, a God-fearing man, in verse 22, well spoken of by the entire nation of Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you, to come to his house and hear a message from you. Wow. Talk about being precise. Talk about shooting a direct arrow. Talk about having the truth and bringing it out. You know, verse 22 there, Cornelius was seen as a righteous man, seen as a good man, which, to be quite honest, for the Roman centurions, for the Roman soldiers, would probably be an unusual thought and an unusual idea of these soldiers, that basically they were to the Jews, they were like the scum of the earth. They were the oppressors. These were the people that held them down. And yet, we find here that, as far as Cornelius is concerned, he's looked upon in a different light by the Jewish people because of the message, the love that he has shown from his household. And so there he is. He's asked for them to come. And so we find that the journey from Caesarea to Joppa is about 34 miles. That is a good day journey, I think, don't you? That is a fair journey. And so it took them a day to get there. And so Peter arrived there. And, you know, Peter is actually, as far as he's concerned, he's actually been asked to do some, as far as the Jews are concerned, some righteous, some ungodly things by going to the house of the Roman centurion. And this is not the way it should be, Peter. You're a Jew. You shouldn't do these things. You see, God's into making changes.
Amen.
God is into doing great and mighty things. And so we find that mixed into the Jew was totally, it was unlawful as far as the Jews were concerned.
Mm.
But you know, we find that God is at work doing great things. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50, he says, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So Cornelius somehow had found some form of relationship with God. And he'd heard, obviously he must have heard about Jesus. He must have heard about the things that had happened, because it was spread throughout all of Israel at the time. It was hot news of this Christ, the Son of the living God. And so in verse 24 of Acts chapter 10, he says, and on the following day, he entered
Caesarea, that is Peter. Now Cornelius was waiting for him and had called together his relatives and close friends. I think this guy's an evangelist. He's out there, he's bringing his friends in. He's bringing his family in. He's bringing them in saying, hey, you've got to come and meet this guy. Something amazing happened in my life just a few days ago. I've been told to send for this guy. You need to come and meet him. I don't know what's going to happen, but I believe God is going to move. Hallelujah. And you know something? I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But God is going to move.
Oh, man.
God is going to move in power. I believe it. And we need to just begin to bring people to Christ. We need to share the message. Bring them to Jesus. Show them the love of God. And so in verse 25 it says, and when it came about that Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter raised him up, saying, stand up. I too am just a man. Hallelujah. We're just men. But you know, when the presence and the power of God is upon us, God can use us to great effect for his praise and his glory. And that the Christ, the anointed one, will be seen in each and every one of us. And verse 27, he says, and as he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. He'd got a right crowd gathered in his house, in the courtyard. They were waiting to hear what this man that the angel had told him to send for was going to say. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him, and yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, it is amazing how that God had went before all this, that God began to portray to Peter that he was to reach out beyond the Jews, that there was a message of life and hope and to bring, and that he wasn't to call anything unclean and unholy, because this was referring to the nations of the world around, that the message was to go out to the nations around. That's the reason that the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came to empower us, to equip us, to that we would carry the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and declare the message of Christ to the people around us. And he says there, he says, you know, Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in a shining garment. Praise God.
Wow.
It must have been an awesome sight to see an angel with a... This angel had been in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Moses had been in the presence of God and the people when he came out from the tent of the tabernacle. They said to Moses, Moses, cover your face. Just cover your face, please. You know, they could not abide looking upon him because the glory of the Lord was shining out of him. You know, the glory of the Lord had impregnated him.
Mm.
We need to be, as children of God, we need to be impregnated with the glory.
Amen.
That when people see us, they see something in us.
Mm-hmm.
That is of the presence of God. This is what God intends. This is God's presence in our lives. And so this angel had been in the presence of God. He brought the message from God. And so when the angel arrives, the glory that is upon the angel, that stands before Cornelius, is shining out from the garments of the angels. And he's showing Jesus, he's showing the Christ, he's showing the God of whom he serves.
And the God that Cornelius is seeking to serve and yet does not yet fully understand, I believe. Mm-hmm. And in verse 31 it says, and the angel said to Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. Your alms, your offerings have been remembered before God. And so this story is such an amazing story of how God knows what you do. God knows what you give. God knows what you share. God knows how you're living. God knows what you're saying. God knows what you're thinking. God knows the plans, the intents of our hearts. And so, I think to myself, how can he do this? He's God. He's Almighty God. And he can do this. Verse 35 in Acts chapter 10. But in every nation, the man who fears him who does what is right is welcome to God. No matter where you're from, no matter what nation you're in, if you fear God and you do what is right, then you'll be welcomed into the presence of God. It's knowing the Christ. Verse 36. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. 37. You yourselves know the things which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism and John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus, praise his wonderful name. God was with Christ, and God today is with each and every one of us as we allow him to come into our lives, to join us, as we commit ourselves to him, as we seek his face, as we draw close to him. And it is important that we realize that God knows everything about us. God knows our weaknesses. He knows our failings. But God has already made provision for our failings. God's made provision for our mistakes. God made provision for our weaknesses, that he might minister into us and through us, that even in our weaknesses, God can show his strength and his power. And then we move to verse 44. Peter is ministering the word, he's sharing with his people. And while he says in verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we listening to the message? Are we listening to the Spirit? Are we listening to the word of God? He says, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. I pray that, people who will listen to the message, that the Holy Spirit will fall upon these people. And that the presence of God would come over them and would minister into their lives. And he says in verse 45, that all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. Okay. What does that tell you? That tells you right there and then that Peter, he'd taken some Jews with him. They were Jewish Christians. But they still had an attitude that what they had got was just for them. It was just for them. And they were shocked to see that whilst Peter was preaching, without anybody saying, I'm going to lay hands on you and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your hearts and lives and to manifest himself, whilst he was preaching, the Holy Spirit just came in.
Amen.
He just came in. He said, it's my time. And I just pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, come.
Amen. I agree.
Come into our lives. Just burst in. Amen. Take the time, take the opportunity, take the moment and burst into our lives. And the Holy Spirit burst into those lives. And it shocked the Jews. So how can it be that these Gentiles, these foreigners, these uncircumcised, these unclean people, how can it be that God can fill them with His Holy Spirit? Well, God said, I'll show you. And God moved in and just filled them with His Holy Spirit. And they were shocked. And He says in verse 46, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. And then Peter answers and said, verse 47, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who had received the Holy Spirit just as we did. Can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. What a story. What a testimony. One of obedience. One of seeking God. One of looking for God to move in our lives in such a wonderful way. And learning to give out of what little you have and seeing God give back to us. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, the word says. And this Cornelius, as he'd been giving to many needs, I would imagine, in the area at that time, because it said he was well known, he was well thought of, so he must have been given to many people out of his goodness of his heart and out of what he had. And you know, God watched him. And you know, God brought such a blessing over him, brought salvation to his house,
amen,
brought the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I just find also it's amazing that how so often people think things have to be done in a certain order. And the Jews had this idea, you need to be baptized in water. You need to come to Christ, be baptized in water, and then you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the order. And yet God reversed it. These people came to Christ, baptized him in the Holy Spirit, and then they were baptized later on in water, a day, you know, the following day or during that day. So God is not about, he won't stick to your order, to my order. God is the God of order. And God will do what he needs to do. And I just thank God that as we celebrate the time of Pentecost when the empowerment to the church was given, because that's what it is. The Holy Spirit was not given just to speak in tongues. It was given to empower the church for their work in ministry. You know, when Peter, I said earlier on, when Peter was following Jesus, deep down he was somewhat of a coward when a young girl challenged him at the time of Jesus being judged and put on trial. And yet, afterwards, when he's been filled with the Holy Spirit, he's filled with an anointing of power and strength and confidence in God.
Mm-hmm.
And he begins to speak those words at the day of Pentecost. And as the word tells us, 3,000 were added to the church. And then later on, we see the story here of Cornelius, how God again speaks to him. And I mean, at the day of Pentecost, it says that there were, from many nations, were hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ,
amen,
from Peter, and they were giving their lives to Christ. And God just continues the full to emphasize the story in Acts 10 with Cornelius, and that God is no respecter of person, that God will fill the whole earth with his presence, that Jesus came to redeem all of humanity back to God and to give them the anointings and the presence and the access to the throne room of God, and to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit, who would lead them and guide them and direct them in the Word and show them the truth and let them hear what God is saying in the very throne room about their circumstances and their situations today. And so today, don't the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that God has given to you, do not let them go cold. Constantly refresh them. You know, use it daily to worship God with that new tongue that God gave you. Worship the Lord. Give him praise. Wait upon him. Listen to his voice. Let him give you direction. You might even get a visitation from an angel.
Amen.
That might send you somewhere.
Amen.
That might do something through you. And it's like, it is all of God and nothing of me. It is all of God, nothing of you. And as we say, I told you earlier, right at the beginning, we sat in this house, and the presence of God, just a wind of the Spirit came through the house and put people down under the power of the Holy Ghost. Nobody was praying, God, do anything. We were just worshipping. And as we would worship God, as we would exalt Jesus, then we will find the presence of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives and through our lives to the glory of the name of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So today, each and every one of us, let us afresh seek the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And just give Him space, give Him an opportunity to just flow through us. You know, God had shown this to Peter, that God accepted everybody. And yet, God had to call Paul to take up the ministry to the Gentiles, because Peter still struggled with it.
Mm-hmm.
His whole religion, to some degree, held him back. And God had to bring Paul onto the frame and to bring him in to begin to take the message to the Gentiles. But praise God, the Spirit of God is going to move throughout all the earth.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God is going, there is going to be an outpouring. There is going to be double portions. There is going to be an absolute flow of the Spirit. You know, our nations are in turmoil at this time. And as they're in turmoil, people are beginning to seek for answers.
Amen.
Well, the answers are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The answers are in the Word of God. The answers are in God's Holy Spirit moving in our lives. And there's power in that name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's a song. There's power in the name of Jesus. And we believe. And we shall see God moving in a new way,
Amen.
In a new dimension.
Amen.
But you know, it's got to be through you and through me.
Mm-hmm.
God uses individuals, and God wants to move through you. You know, when we read in Acts here, God used Peter. He sent an angel with a message, but God used the humans to carry the message. Today, will you carry the message?
Amen.
Today, will you stand strong? Today, will you take that message to the lost and let Christ, the Anointed One, be seen in you for His praise and for His glory? Amen.
Amen.